Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Most High, who no longer dwells on earth in lowliness and poverty, but are seated at the right hand of the Father, a mighty Lord over all things in heaven and on earth, filling and ruling all, we beg you, send us your Holy Spirit. Give us faithful ministers, endow them with your gifts, and keep them in your word. Hinder Satan and all tyrants, and mightily protect your kingdom on earth. Until all enemies are laid at your feet, and we overcome sin, death, and all things by you, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. From our gospel lesson tonight from Mark 16. So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. The Lord worked with them. The message of the ascension of our Lord. Also, we heard it in that lesson from Acts chapter 1 as Luke is writing to Theophilus and he says, in the first book I began to write all that Christ began to work. Implying the remaining 28 chapters of the book of Acts would be filled with Christ's continued work even after the ascension. So on Ascension Day, we hear that history from Acts chapter 1. We hear also Mark's very brief account, but yet it is the very Word of God, Mark 16 especially, for us to ponder tonight. The Spirit has inspired these words for us to hear and learn from. That Christ was taken visibly in his body up. There were witnesses. We have their testimony that he was taken up in both natures, both true God, divine nature, and true man, human nature, and yet one Jesus, who will always now have two natures and still yet be one Christ. And yet, it is not like Jesus is trapped in heaven. No, it is not like that. The next time, of course, that he will be visibly seen in such a way, this will be the last day, and we will see him come as he went. But yet, in spite of that, not being able to see him, he continues to come to his people. Just as it says here in Mark 16, that he confirmed the message. He worked with them as they preached everywhere they went. Or as Luke summarizes, all that he began to do and to teach. And the one Christ, true God, true man, born, grown, suffered, died, and risen, has now ascended to the right hand of God. That language of the right hand of God is and has always been, throughout the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit's way of describing how now Jesus lives and reigns over all things for eternity. That this, his state of exaltation, that he as both true God and true man truly exercises all dominion, all divine power over all things. That he lives and reigns over everything. That this phrase, the right hand of God, is indeed the almighty power of God, which fills heaven and earth. Now, this teaching of the ascension of our Lord has not received much attention from Christians, which is horribly sad, because so much of what we trust in, so much of what we live by in this earthly life is undergirded by the good news of the ascension of our Lord Jesus Christ. that the very supper that we will receive tonight, the Lord's Supper, the one where Christ says, "This is my body," and so forth, well, the ascension helps answer the questions. How can Christ's body be locally present at this altar as the bread is consecrated? How can Christ's body be present as the pastors bring it from there to you at the rail? How can Christ's body be present as it is placed into your hand or upon your tongue? It can be present because Christ our Lord has ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. That's how. Whatever willing and voluntary laying aside of his power and his authority that happened during his state of humiliation is over. That will not need to happen ever again. But instead now Christ does not hold anything back. He is Almighty God. And as two natures and yet still one Christ, he can absolutely be here, just as he says, and yet at the same time be at another altar far away from here, or 1,000 altars across the world, or 10,000s, or whatever. Christ has ascended. And it's immensely more practical than just that. The lives that we have here, our daily lives that God places us into, there in those lives, the ascension of our Lord bolsters all of our help, all of our comfort, all of our consolation amongst every last little change, every last little curveball, every last even shattering moment of our lives. That Christ lives and reigns over all of it, over everything. Now, certainly this can cause great offense, that one can be tempted to take great offense at Christ at this news of his ruling and reigning over everything, especially when those hard times, those times of suffering, those times of cross-bearing can come. But here you have to remember just who Christ is. Who is this Christ who ascended into heaven? Who is this Jesus who now lives and reigns? He is the same Jesus who descended from heaven, who took on flesh and became our brother according to that flesh. The same Jesus who endured every manner of suffering for our sake, shedding his blood, dying a death that he never deserved, suffering torments that he never earned, all for our sake, that we would not suffer these things. That this same Jesus who has ascended to the Father is the crucified Jesus. The Jesus who now has ascended and lives and reigns. And so while tough things come to us, hard times and suffering and all sorts of trouble may come to us, we may trust absolutely in Jesus' reign. Because the Jesus who reigns over everything is the Jesus who has proven his love for us already. That when you become tempted to be offended at just how Jesus is reigning from your viewpoint, recall the crucifixion and take comfort that the one, the very one who took on flesh in order that he would be able to take away your sins by doing the hardest thing that you would ever have to do, That is, suffer and die for your own sins and suffer the guilt and so forth and the punishment for them, that he did that for you. And that he will use whatever it is that in his reign he is using and that you are enduring, he will use it for your good as well. That he is always, by his divine power and might, always undoing the devil's works, turning them on their heads, making what appears to be bad into all good. And this will be most clear and evident to us when he returns like he went on the last day. That just as Jesus was taken up into the clouds, ascended with hands raised in blessing, is coming back in the same way for you as Christians. And even now, and even then, he will still bear the very marks of his crucifixion, which he bore for your sake. That he rules today over all things, with the same wounds in his hands, his feet, his side. That the Jesus who loved you by the work of Calvary still loves you with the same undying love that was willing to suffer all as he reigns over all the universe for your sake. Now, the ascension also points us to the final fulfillment and goal of all our Christian life: eternal life with Jesus. That Jesus said himself that he goes to prepare a place for you, that there, that where he would be, you would be also. That he returned to the Father by the way of the cross and the resurrection. And so our heavenly hopes all tie then into the ascension of our Lord Jesus. And here you have from that Mark 16 passage a great promise about holy baptism. The reminder that holy baptism's gift for you as you faithfully trust God's word about baptism is indeed eternal life. And if you are baptized, you are then baptized into Christ's death and resurrection. Whereas the scriptures put it elsewhere, that if he is the church's head, if he is the groom and the church is his bride, then he leads and we most certainly will follow. Because baptism makes us a part of his body. That where he goes, we go. And so his ascension is a pathfinding. It is a foreshadowing of our ascension because we are his body. We are in him. When the Bible testifies of going to be with Christ, or when Christ himself says, "Today you will be with me in paradise," he is speaking of the glorious promise that we will be with him in eternity. That where he has ascended, we too shall go. Because the ascension of Jesus is meant to be for your comfort, for your help, for your consolation, for your encouragement, that he is the one who lives and reigns, that all that happens, everything that goes on, he is in control of. That the right hand of God, the eternal almighty power, is now fully used at all times by Christ Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, who is also born of the Virgin Mary. That the Word of God comes with his power and his might. The Holy Spirit is sent by his sending. That the sacraments are exactly what they are because of Christ's power and might behind the Word. That as Mark attested and as Luke attested, he continues to do the work in the church and among the church and for the church. And yes, he still rules outside of the church in sometimes a very hidden and mysterious way. Ways in which we would do best to trust what we do know of our crucified Savior, who is now King over all. That whatever situation happens, Jesus has it covered. And that though he covers all these great and wondrous things, covering all the earth and indeed the universe, he has not forgotten you either. That you are not so small in light of all the universe and all of time as we might think. That no, you are not too small for him. For he has all divine power and authority. And he cherishes you. His blood proves it. He cherishes you as his own bride, or as his own body, that he in divine authority and love has cared for you, yes, specifically. And thus, to care for you specifically, he has baptized you. He has made you his body. He has made you his bride. That where he has gone to lead the way and prepare the place, you would be also. That heavenly, eternal life is indeed coming for you. Just as sure as he now lives and reigns to all eternity. That he who is truth cannot leave you behind without becoming a liar. And he can't lie. Jesus has ascended to the Father. And as he said to his disciples, this is for your good that I return to the Father. That this is better for you. Better because there is no way in which he is limited in his power or his authority, but fully uses all of it at all times in every place now. Better because he indeed sent the Holy Spirit. Better because he does not hold anything back. Better because he is coming. And his coming for you as his dear Christians will be for every bit of blessing as his ascension has been. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.